Okay, I gotta stop fucking around, get the show on the road. Speaking of things that are on the road. I'm waiting on the interwebs. Speaking of things on the road, apparently somebody named Michael Williams is running for governor in Georgia. And Michael Williams has the deportation bus. He's got a school bus, and across the side it says, "Fill this bus with illegals. Vote Michael Williams." And it says, "Deportation bus" on the side of it. Every once in a while, I have some hope for the future. The hope is very quickly squashed, however. Because you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, moan, look for a safe space, this ain't it. Dig in your heels and hold on tight. You can shove your opinions up your ass, that way the Trump and Furious cock has something to keep it company. Don't forget, the ever-present, the most likely, the third possibility. You are wrong, and I am right. All right. Now, let me see if I can get the mug of hot tea over here without spilling it. That was a major accomplishment around these parts. Not spilling things is the major accomplishment. Here at Stating the Obvious podcast, which is the weapons platform from which I launch the cruise missile my intellect homes in on, destroys the statements all around the world. There. Yummy. Greetings, friends and enemies. I am the great one himself. I am the founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society. I've been on the internet since 1999. I've been podcasting for 13 years. I'm right. I'm always right. I've always been right. I will always be right. I have never been wrong. And you know how I'm never... You know, here's the thing. You may think, oh, great one, weren't you wrong this one time? No. See, what you guys don't understand is I'm playing four-dimensional chess. See, I'm studying the tactics of Scott Adams, and I am learning how to hamster wheel rationalize everything. Right? So just, if you fuck up, you just tell people, oh, well, see, I'm playing four-dimensional chess. You're just not smart enough to understand what I'm doing, right? It's like when Donald Trump said he's going to build a wall. See, that was four-dimensional chess. You were not smart enough to understand that Donald Trump didn't mean a physical wall. No, it's meta. It's four. I'm not even going to try to explain this to you guys, because you're just not smart enough to play four-dimensional chess, like Scott Adams. What you are smart enough to do, however, and what the great one is grateful to you for, is spending money over at the Amazon.com. I got a payout from the Amazon affiliate link. It was, I think, $19 and something. So I'm not rich. I can't retire yet. But still, I'm a little bit closer to buying the Supergirl figurine that I have absolutely no fucking use for. And this is what it's like to have first world problems. This is what it's like. It's not so much first world problems. This is what it's like to not have to pay alimony and child support and credit card debt and pay your fucking $300 a month car payment and the $125 a month insurance because it's a fancy sports car or something. See, this is what it's like to spend less money than you make. I think I'm going to buy something that I don't need. I'm not going to buy a... I'm going to buy a little figurine. It'll collect dust. It'll sit on the shelf, along with the other figurines that are collecting dust on the shelf. I used to have a lot of little knick-knacky shit. I got that probably from my mother and my grandmother, because both of them were, in the case of my grandmother, because my grandmother is now dead, and are, in the case of my mother, collectors of little knick-knacky shit, right? And my grandmother had shelves all over the house with just little knick-knacky shit. And I think I picked that up from them. if I could fucking speak correctly. And at one time, I had a lot of little knick-knacky shit sitting all over the place. And I have purged most of it. And I used to be terrible about buying little knick-knacky shit. And I stopped. So this will be the first piece of knick-knacky shit that I've bought in years. And then I'll also have to think about... I gotta look at this for a second. Hang on. I'll have to figure out where I'm going to put it because I created this limitation for myself, and doing this will help you move forth in life, in my opinion. It's worked for me. It may or may not work for you. For example, when I told you guys about how I stopped being a fucking functional alcoholic, I gave myself permission to get really drunk twice a year. For a couple of years, I took advantage of it, then I just stopped. It's the same sort of thing with the knick-knacky thing, right? I set these parameters for myself. I have this small shelf. It's 1, 2, 3. It's 3 shelves and then the top of the shelf. So it's 4 surface areas. And it hangs on the wall. And that little shelf, that's where I put my little knick-knacky shit. That's where my knick-knacky shit goes. Oh, God damn it. Hold on. Sorry, guys. That just reminded me of something. I have to write this down, otherwise I will forget it. All right. What was I talking about? Knick-knacky shit. The shelf, right. So I have this shelf, and any knick-knacky shit that I have... Great one, what exactly do you mean by knick-knacky shit? Okay, so I've got like my little pewter sculpture of K-9 from Doctor Who, and my little pewter sculpture of a Dalek from Doctor Who, and a little pewter TARDIS from Doctor Who, all of which were handmade by this woman who was big in the Doctor Who fandom way back in the day, and she made all these things and hand-painted them and sold them. And then I've got like some bullet casings from when I was in the military. What the fuck else is on that thing, actually? Oh, yeah, rubber ducks. Hand grenade. Oh, yeah. So you have to go look. That's how much attention I pay. I got some rubber ducks. I've got a hand grenade. It's a practice hand grenade. It's the old pineapple type. Yeah, just shit like that. And so the rule is, the parameters I established for myself, is that any knick-knacky shit I purchase, have, has to fit on that shelf. And if the shelf gets full, right, it's like if you want to put more stuff in, you got to take something out. Oh man, I purged. I tell you guys, I can't remember because I never remember what I tell you. I purged my closet because I have 2 closets with clothes in them. I think I told you this. I got the closet for my work clothes and the closet for my civilian clothes, what I call civilian clothes, like normal clothes. That's what you normal people call normal clothes. And the same thing, the closet's getting full. Well, I went through and I tossed out a bunch of event t-shirts. I think I did tell you guys this. Right, it's the same concept. If you want to bring more shit in, you got to throw something out first. This is what a lot of people don't do. And this is why they think, well, I got to have a bigger house. I got to have a bigger place to live. And then you just get more shit. And then you need a bigger place to live. And then you get more shit. And then you gotta need a bigger place to live. I'm working on purging. And I've been working on purging for years. I just have that much shit. And I don't get around to purging all that often. But when you do, when you purge, it feels so good. It's like taking a really good dump. You ever get up in the morning, you go in there and you sit down, you just take this really good dump and it's like, yes. And you feel good and clean inside and empty and you're ready for the world and your asshole is all happy and smiling. And you look in the toilet, there's this big old heap of fucking Obama down there and you're like, yes. I feel good. That's the kind of purging. Anyway, none of that has anything to do with what I was going to talk about today. What was I? Oh, Amazon. Anyhow, thank you for spending money over at the Amazon affiliate link. Remember, you can get there from here by typing cls.link cls.link/Amazon. That's cls.link/Amazon. And it'll take you straight to Amazon with my affiliate link. Because you see, I care about you more than Aaron Clary does. Aaron expects you to go to captaincapitalism.blogspot.com and then click on the Amazon affiliate link. So you have to do extra work. You have to type something in and then you have to click on a link. See, the great one values your finite life more than Aaron Clary. All you have to do is type something in. You don't have to click on a fucking link. I'm going to get you straight over there. I am going to save you time so that you can do more important things after, of course, you're finished spending money via my affiliate link at Amazon.com. I was thinking I might do this because it would be fairly easy. I should put it on my list. I'll forget if I don't. Now, if I forget, this is fine. Some things I don't put on the list because they're not that important. And if I forget them, then it just saves me time in my finite life. I was thinking what I might do over on the website is put up one of those little donation thermometers, right? No, we are the dipshits who care about children's, and we're raising money to protect the children's from the NRA. You know, we want to raise $10 million. You know, and you get the little thermometer and it shows we've raised $3,000 so far. I was thinking I'd do a little donation thermometer for the Supergirl figurine and show how it's going along. Half serious, but mostly just joking, mostly just for funniness. All right, where are we at? I got to talk about stuff. I did that. So, oh, there was a school shooting. Do you give a shit? Because I don't. Oh my God. So let's see. I saw the pictures of the kid. He had the communist pin. He had the little heart that apparently someone put a link to the Amazon thing. It's a like a bisexual pin or something. You know, he had the little peace symbol. And once again, all the basic questions that nobody's going to talk about that I want the answers to. Okay, was the mother a single mother? Was the kid on medication? If there was a father there, was he just an individual with a penis who had sex with the guy's mother, with the kid's mother, or was he an actual father? I mean, how involved was the father with the raising of the child? You know, Stefan Molyneux did a video about it. I watched it. There were the usual red flags. The kid smelled bad, and Stefan, well, this is an indicator of a bad. How did no one notice the kid smells bad, and why did they not figure out this is a indicative of a bad family, home life, or whatever? And I mean, sure, there's some validity in everything Stefan said there, but I mean, just once again, was the kid on medication? Was the kid going to public school? Did the kid have any fucking parenting as opposed to just, you know, was the kid a product of breeders? People who just spit out children? You know, how much time did the kid spend in fucking daycare? How much time did the parents spend with the kid? I think Stefan said that the kid, the shotgun and the pistol belonged to his father. So apparently there was a man somewhere around. Once again, we're using the term father very loosely. But ultimately, as ever, I just don't fucking care. When are you people going to learn to stop sending your children to public schools? You're not. Because most of you are having the children, but you don't want to fucking raise them. Public school shooting. I don't care. There, we've done that. Moving on. Moving on to more important things. Much, much more important things. My fans. Great one. Are you saying that the people who listen to your podcast are more important than school shootings? Well, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what I just said. The only thing more important than the people who listen to my podcast would be me. We got to get this one done. Moritz. If I'm mispronouncing your name, apologies. It's not because I'm being malicious, as usual. It's because I'm stupid. Moritz left a question slash comment on left-wing statist, homosexual, dope-smoking, atheist Jew. I can't make this up. Wants Christians put in jail so he can be free. The comment slash question is this. On white nationalism, doesn't nationalism imply statism? Or am I missing something? This is a great question. Because you are missing something. Nationalism in common normie peasant language. Yeah, people think, well, it's a nation. It's the state, right? The nation, government, the United States is a nation. And that's actually not what the word nation means. And I just watched a video. James Alsup, I think it's Alsup, ripping on Sargon of Akkad, which when I first encountered Sargon of Akkad, I was like, yeah, this guy, he's pretty, this is some interesting stuff. This guy's pretty smart. The more I see of him, like the more beta male, white hating social justice warrior he sounds to me. Right? He's kind of, yeah. Anyway, I'm just about to go down a path I didn't want to go down. I was about to open a second front by invading Russia, but then I decided not to. This is the sound of me trying to remember what I was talking about. Sargon. James, I just watched a video by James responding to Sargon criticizing James, and James is like, yeah, look, Sargon is doing this thing where you disagree with people and you, or I should say, you argue with people. Again, I'm using argue in the philosophical sense, not like you argue with your girlfriend, where you formulate an argument with people by reading the definition of words from the dictionary. And yes, that is a great cop-out, and it is lame and useless in many, many ways. But it's not always lame and useless. There's a reason why the phrase, or do you call it a word, nation-state exists. People will say, well, this is a nation-state, you know, nation-state. The reason for the phrase nation-state is because, no, nation does in fact not imply statism. Nation is completely different from state. That's why you have nation state. Now, to utilize dictionary definitions to argue my point, I will now pull up my dead tree copy of Webster's New World Dictionary. Great one. Why do you have a dead tree copy of a dictionary when you can look up words on the internet? Simple, because words on the internet, the definitions can be changed and people will believe it because it's on the internet. We've talked about this before, right? Information on the internet is to a certain extent completely useless because you never know when it's been changed. With a dead tree copy of a book, nobody can come. Nobody can come in this book. Well, they could come in this book, but the pages would stick together. Nobody can come in this book and change the definitions of words. Nation. What is a nation? Now, when you've heard, I'm sure, the expressions, the Islamic nation, or the Navajo nation, or the Apache nation, right? In those cases, when someone talks about the Apache nation, they're not talking about all the Apache Indians had a centralized government that they obeyed, right? The Apache nation means all the peoples of the Apache tribe. It has nothing to do with the government. It's all the members of the tribe. All right, I got to find nation because the words are in alphabetical order. It's difficult. Here we go. Nation. Definition number one. And of course, there are multiple, but that's fine. Number one, a stable, historical, developed community of people with a territory, economic life, distinctive culture, and language in common. Nothing about governments. And that's the point. A nation, so when you say white nationalism, you're talking about a stable, historically developed community of people with a territory, economic life, distinctive culture, and language in common. This nation could be under any political system there is, or, in fact, under no political system. You can have an anarchist society and still have a nation. And this is why also that a nation can transcend governments. For example, the Islamic nation. Okay, the Islamic nation is the nation of all people who are Islamic. Because the Islamic people collectively have a stable, historically developed community of people with a territory, an economic life, a distinctive culture, and a language in common. Now, not all Muslims speak the same language. But you can still say there is a Islamic nation in the sense that their religion is a distinctive cultural thing they all have in common, and that gives them this very, it gives them a large, what's the phrase I'm looking for? It gives them a large, collection of commonalities in their worldview. So a nation has nothing to do with government. Nation can transcend government. And this, of course, is also why, as I have made the point multiple times, one of the best things that could happen in the United States would be the secession of the different areas, the United States breaking up. Because here in the United States, we have different nations, and that's part of the fucking problem, right? We've got the nation of the filth and the garbage over on the left coast, California, Oregon, Washington State. They need to go away. They need to be their own country. We have the nation of the Northeast, the Yankee filth. Okay, they need to go away and be their own state. We have the nation of the Old South, the Confederacy. They need to go become their own state. We have the nation of Texas. Needs to go be its own state. We have the nation of the Midwest. And I'm not really sure exactly where the Midwest begins and ends. But we have the nation, I would say, like the Colorado, the Wyoming. There's differences between the Colorado and the Wyoming, but also the similarities. And again, it depends. Like, your average liberal from Denver has nothing in common, if I can talk, with people from Wyoming. But here in this area of Colorado where I live, in the Soviet sector of Colorado, the people out in the country, they have more in common with the Wyomingers. Right, so maybe you got Wyoming, Colorado, New Mexico. Maybe that's culturally. Again, what a nation actually is, a group of people with cultural similarities. That continues here, defining the word nation. As soon as I can find it again, I lost it. Number two, the people of a territory united under a single government. And so if you're thinking about that application of the word nation, okay. And see, in my mind, the first definition is the literally Hitler. The literally Hitler playing four-dimensional chess. The literal definition of nation is the first one, the one that is sans government. But right, most people, when they hear nation, they think of the government. Number three, the people of a territory united under a single government, country, state. The nations, Bible, the non-Jewish nations, Gentiles. Non-Jewish nations. The Gentiles, yes. Anyway, we'll attempt not to make fun of Jews in this episode. That won't go well, I'm sure. I'm sure it's going to happen. Oy vey, the goy, they're coming for me. My people are persecuted. Anyway. Nation. So yes, nation does not imply statism. Not if you're using the, what I'm going to call, the real definition of the word nation. Thank you for your question, because that's a good question. Because I always thought, when I was using the word nation, I thought I was using it correctly. Thought. You know, here's the thing, man. Now that now that I found out that chicks are called thoughts, which I also discovered stands for that hoe over there, T-H-O-T, that hoe over there, which I, when I first heard the word thought, I had no clue where it came from. Now that I know the word thought, right, I listened to the meditation, I was going to say tapes, they're not tapes. I listened to meditation audio on the music players, right? I've told you guys this, especially when I'm trying to go to sleep at night because my brain can't shut down. So I listen to the meditations because it helps me to stop thinking and to fucking fall asleep. And the person leading the meditation will come on and he'll say, you know, something like, allow all the thoughts to clear from your mind. And now every time I hear the word thought in the context of like thinking, thoughts in your brain, all I can think of is thoughts. He'll say, clear the thoughts from your mind. And I'll immediately think of Lauren Southern. Like, oh God, I can't do it. It's like there's a whole new level of challenge to meditating, because every time I hear the word thought, I think of trad thoughts. All right. Speaking of comments over on the website, Dave left this one over on the triggering, the linkage for 15th of May. Hey, G.O., was just thinking as I looked at that pic you posted here of the non-objectified women versus objectified women, there's a redhead in among the fugs in the first pic that might meet your standards if she cleaned herself. Dave, no women meet my standards. Oh, there's a couple that come close, but there's no woman meets. Girls, it's not that hard to do time management. It's really not. I'm an adult. I'm strong and independent. You can't time manage your way out of a wet paper bag. That might meet your standards if she cleaned herself up and wore decent clothes, plus emptied her mind of any bullshit. You'll notice she has not disfigured her face like the thugs around her. It's so telling when you notice an individual specimen in among the trash you realize could do much better in life if they just ditched all the bullshit. The lack of a disfigured face says to me that she may possibly be saved, i.e. she has not internalized self-hate to the point where she will destroy her face. The face of a chick is ground zero in the war for her mind. When she destroys her face, you know she is lost. And I thought that was a pretty astute observation. That the face of a chick is ground zero in the war for her mind. And I thought about that. And I think he's onto something here. Because I know plenty of women who have done the body mutilation thing and they got the piercing and the belly button. Girls, that belly button thing. Once again, this is a serious question. Men, if you're listening to this podcast and you are attracted, you're not a virgin toe, you don't buy sex dolls and stuff, you're actually attracted to real women. I'm serious about this. I'm very curious about it. Do you guys think that the belly button piercing, and not just like maybe the little whatever, the little stud or whatever the fuck they call it, like a bead. But you see these chicks, and they've got like this fucking wind chime hanging from their belly button. Is that attractive? Because that is not attractive to me. That is not even remotely attractive to me. That, once again, if I see something stuck in your stomach, a piece of metal stuck in your stomach, you've lost a point. And if it looks like a fucking wind chime, if it's like 3 inches long and dangling down, you're losing 2 points. I mean, that is not attractive to me. That's what I'm asking. Is that attractive? And if you think it is, I'm not knocking you on it. I'm just saying I don't get it. I don't get a lot of, there's plenty of things that doesn't make it wrong. Okay, this is somewhat subjective, right? Women being attractive versus not attractive. It's, god damn it. Hold on, guys. I just looked up and I noticed this giant accumulation of dust on top of the door sill. And for whatever reason, it drove me insane. I had to go clean it. Which is really odd because I'm over the dust. Let me tell you guys, back right after I got out of the military, and for probably 5 years after that, I was all about cleaning the house. Like, I had come in the crib, and if there was dust somewhere, that shit had to be taken care of. If the floor needed vacuuming or the kitchen floor needed mopping, that shit had to be taken care of, man. Kitchen had to be spotless. And I'm sure that was, to an extent, an aspect of being in the military. We had to keep things clean. And I would go to old people's houses and I would see, man, there'd be dust and there'd be dirty dishes and the floor would be dirty. I'd be sitting thinking, man, how can people live like this? This would drive me insane. I can't believe the dust. Now that I am older, I understand. Like, now, dust, like that knick-knack shelf I was just talking about, that has not been dusted in probably 6 years. The amount of dust on the shit on that shelf, I am not fucking bullshitting you guys. You can write your fucking name in it. And I just, it's like, right now, there's this almond that's on my kitchen floor because I was eating some nuts, eating nuts. Oh, God. He said eating nuts. I was eating nuts in the kitchen. Yeah, my boyfriend was over and I was eating nuts in the kitchen. And wait, hang on. I'm getting distracted here. No, not that. What? What? Oh. I'm committing the sin of having my email open because I need it for this podcast episode. Because if I ever get to it, I'm going to read you something. There's this almond on the floor in my kitchen. That almond has been there for at least 4 weeks. Because I'm okay with it now. Like, I have shit to do. I'm going to die one day. Picking up that almond is really not a priority. The almond is not bothering me. I'm not bothering the almond. We are coexisting just fine. It's kind of like the dust on the knick-knack shelf. That dust is not bothering me. I'm not bothering it. We are coexisting just fine. The ceiling fan has this layer of dust on the top of the blades. I've got to clean those sometime within the next year, or the weight of the dust is probably going to break the fan blades off. But like that, oh my God, Well, after I got out of the military, if I walked in and saw a ceiling fan that had dust that thick on it, you guys think I'm making this up. I will bet you a fucking dollar. The dust on the top of those blades, it's at least a quarter inch thick. I'm not exaggerating this. That shit would have driven me crazy when I was 23 years old. I would have just lost it. Now, I just don't give a shit. It's fine, man. I got other shit to do. I'm gonna fucking die one day. Fuck that dust. I don't know what that has to do with belly button piercings. So tell me if you guys find that attractive. So anyhow, women will mutilate their bodies. They'll do all the freak tattoos and all this shit. They'll do the belly button piercing. But he's kind of right. He's right. I think he's right about this. They'll do even the weird shit in the ears. And then those fucking, what do they call them? Gauges, where you make the giant fucking hole in your earlobe. Oh my God. Gross. But when it gets to the face, when they start doing the eyebrow piercing and the fucking ring in the middle of the nose and the fucking lip piercings, and then they do those weird little things where the metal goes like under in the skin and comes out the other side. It's like a little barbell stuck to you. Once a woman puts a tattoo on her face, then it's over. Then it's absolutely over. There's no recovering from that. What I like too, because I see a lot of these women around town here, is they're older. They're always like 30s and up, right? They're starting to approach the wall and they know it, where they had the face piercings. And then they've pulled them out, but that hole doesn't go away. And I'll see these chicks and they've got on their lips, usually the bottom lip, you see the hole where the piercing used to be. And you know that, okay, this is a woman. That is an indicator that she sees the wall coming. Like she has become conscious that the wall is approaching. And she's like, oh shit, I'd better get this metal out of my face and make this last ditch attempt at finding myself a quote unquote good man down at the man store so that I can have somebody to raise the three children I have from two baby daddies. And by raise, I mean, of course, pay for. So I thought that was a very astute observation that once a woman starts mutilating her face, she has hit a point of no return. And it tells me my instincts were right, because as you know, if you've listened to this podcast for a while, the Great One instantly disqualifies women for face piercings. I've started to make some exceptions for the nose ring, not this one in the center. The nose ring in the center, oh, I might bang you if you're hot enough, but you are in no way going to be girlfriend material. Not a fucking chance in hell. If they got the little fucking nose ring through the nostril or something, I might make an allowance for that, because I don't know about where you are, but here in the People's Republic of Fort Collins, I would be willing to bet. Oh, you know what? I should actually pay attention to this and try to get actual statistics, which again would obviously be based on a small sample size. It'd be based on the sample size of women whom I encounter and look at, which is very small sample size compared to all the women in the United States. But I'd be willing to bet, what's my estimate here? I would estimate probably 40%, at least 40% of women under the age of 30 have the fucking nose piercing. It's just, everyone around here, it's the thing. That is not what I'm looking for. I'm flipping tabs on the computer here. Bear with me. Here we go, Dave, thank you for your observation. It's very astute and gave me something to think about. and reminded me of a comment that was left over on Adam Piggott's website. Adam linked to one of my podcasts, the one about why I don't like dope smokers. And anyhow, somebody, does it have his name I'm looking for here? PB, as in Papa Bravo. Papa Bravo left this comment on that particular post. Papa Bravo said, "Are tattoos not the epitome of the psychological screensaver with password protection enabled to get to the data just behind?" Tattoos, a psychological screensaver, and you have to enter the password to get to the data behind it. I thought, that's a pretty interesting observation and interpretation. Tattoos are a psychological screensaver. Because what does a screensaver do on your computer? Well, back in the old days, the screensaver was there to keep your CRT from burning out. I don't know that burnout is still a problem with modern computer screens. And over time, it morphed where the primary function of the screensaver was to protect whatever was behind the screensaver from people who weren't supposed to have access to it, right? You walk away from your computer, the screensaver kicks in, it's password protected, so that people who aren't supposed to be accessing your email can't access your email. So the screensaver is there to look pretty and to obscure what's behind it from prying eyes. Tattoos. They're there to look pretty and to obscure what is behind them from prying eyes. Right? If you are an attractive person, do you really need to cover yourself with tattoos to look attractive? And this doesn't necessarily just mean physically attractive. I'm talking about attractive as a person, as a personality, as a human being, as somebody other people would want to spend time with. I've said this before, I've been saying this for years. People who have all these tattoos are getting these tattoos because they know they are not attractive, because they know they are ugly, and it can be physically ugly, or it can be ugly as in their personality, who they are, or it could be both. But they're getting these tattoos in an attempt to prettify themselves, to prettify themselves, to make themselves more attractive to others. I thought that was a great observation that Papa Bravo made right there. All right, how am I doing on time? I'm doing right just like that. All of as normal, all of that took far longer than I expected it to. Let me put some notes down here for show notes. Guys, I'm telling you, man, this breathing baby with the heartbeat, am I wrong? Well, of course I'm not wrong, but guys, is this not just the most bizarre fucking thing? And the interesting about this, remember, this is in Reader's Digest, the large print edition, aimed at old women, right? This is aimed at old people, not old women, but old people, male and female. And of course, I made the joke about, oh, this being for feminists, they've hit the wall, they can't get a child, they could get this. But this is being targeted at, you know, women who are 60 years and older. Can you imagine? And we'll certainly see this in the future. Maybe not so much right now, but 20 years from now, which thank God I'll still be alive to see it, I can see, you know, 67-year-old women buying this thing and like pretending it's their grandbaby, because either they never had children because they were too busy working on their career, or no man could tolerate them, or maybe they had children, but they were such terrible parents that the children don't want anything to do with them, or for whatever reason. But I can see this breathing heartbeat, you know, artificial baby doll selling like mad to these 67-year-old women who just, you know, now that they finally realized, oh, what I really wanted in life was children and grandchildren, and they need to buy this doll and sit there and pretend it's their grandchild. Just like virgin toes in their basements. Well, their mom's basement, sorry, their mom's basement with their sex dolls. Is it just me? There's something so wrong with this. There's something so fucking wrong. Western civilization, it does not deserve to survive. Just, my God. All right, what do I got in the pile? Fuck. Oh! All right, I'm running short on time. I only have, you know what? What I got is 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Got 6 minutes left. I can tell a story in 6 minutes. Because I do have a story I want to tell you. And this ties into policy decisions I'm going to make when I'm elected president in 2024. So I'm in the bathroom, brushing my teeth, and I notice the water is going down the sink really slow. Now the water, for whatever reason, my sink always drains a little bit slow. It's, yeah, it's fine, but really slow. Very, very slow. Slow as in, okay, there's a fucking problem here. Slow as in, it's taking 10 minutes for the water to drain out of the sink. All right, so the first thing I think is, well, there's a bunch of shit down in the trap. Not that kind of trap, the trap on your sink. I have no idea what's inside those kinds of traps, and I don't want to know. So I'm thinking, all right, the trap must be full of shit. Let the water drain, clear everything out from under the sink and the little cabinet under there, get ready. Pop the trap off. Nothing in there. Trap's completely clean. Like, yeah, shit. All right. So I put it all back together and I screw it back in. And I'm running and I run the water and it's fucking leaking all over the place. I'm like, God damn it. Because my sink has 1 1/8-inch pipe coming off. And then where the pipe goes into the wall, that's also, no. It's 1 1/4. 1 1/4 coming out of the sink. And then where the pipe goes into the wall and, you know, goes to wherever it goes, that's 1 1/4. But the trap, and all of that is metal, the trap assembly is made out of PVC, and it's 1 1/2-inch PVC. And I pull it off again. I'm looking at it. There's these gaskets in there, and the gaskets are really shitty and crumbly and everything. And I'm like, okay, God damn it, you know. And I tried some shit on. I put some fucking tape on there, the Teflon tape, and I try tighten it down and tighten it down some more, and it's fucking leaking everywhere. I'm like, God damn it. All right, so it's late at night. Well, late at night. It's like 7-ish, 1900, for those of you who know it until time. I take the assembly and I go to the Ace Hardware store and go in there and see this guy, and I'm like, yeah, I need somebody who knows about plumbing. And he's like, well, nobody's around right now who really knows a lot about plumbing, but I think I could help you out. I'm like, okay. The guy's like mid-20s maybe. So we go to the plumbing section. He's like, oh yeah, you need this gasket. I'm like, okay. So I get the shit. I go home. I get down there. Completely wrong fucking thing. Guy sold me the absolute wrong shit. So now I'm pissed off. Now it's like, whatever. And I said, well, I'm not going to go back now anyhow because there ain't nobody there who knows anything about plumbing, obviously. So next day, I go back during, you know, middle of the daytime when there's more employees at Ace Hardware. And I walk in there and there's a woman And she's probably about, I'm guessing, we know I'm terrible at guessing people's ages, 55, maybe? 50? She says, can I help you with anything? I'm saying, yeah, I need somebody who is plumbing knowledgeable. And she says, well, let's have a look at what you got. Let's go fix it. Now, you guys know me. The first thing that went through my brain is, oh, great, a fucking woman. A woman is going to tell me about plumbing. So we go to the plumbing section. I pull out my trap. That sounds fucking sick. I pulled out my trap and showed it to this woman in public. Pull out my trap, and she's looking at it, and I tell her, you know, it's 1 1/4, 1 1/4. She's like, oh, yeah, here. You need this, you need this, you need this. You put this here, you do this. Take the tape off that's just fucking it up. She didn't say fucking it up, but she said, don't over-tighten it, because if you over-tighten it, you're going to warp the gasket. You're going to screw it up. Okay, do it. I'm like, oh, okay. I went back home with the shit she sold me, did exactly what she said, and it fucking worked perfectly. And it occurred to me, okay, look. When the great one becomes president, there's going to be a federal law. The federal law is going to be as follows. You will not be allowed to work in a hardware store on the floor. I'm not talking about the checkout girls. You cannot work on the floor of a hardware store unless you are at least 50 years old. Because, and here's the thing, this woman, we all know how the great one feels about women, right? 50 years old or so. She has a thing called life experience. She knew exactly what I needed and exactly what I should do because she has life experience. The little 25-year-old fucking loser who sold me the wrong thing has probably never fucking worked on a fucking piece of piping in his life. In fact, you're 25 years old. Why are you working the floor at a hardware store, right? Well, great one. There's some 25-year-olds who know stuff about plumbing and electricity. Yes, and they should be working on construction sites where they should be learning these things so that when they retire at 50, they can work at the hardware store and use their wisdom to guide people like me who don't know what the fuck they're doing. So okay, there it is. There it is. You go in a hardware store, do not talk to a young person. A young person working at the hardware store, and I know there's one or two exceptions, I don't give a fuck, okay? 99 out of 100 people under the age of 50 in a hardware store are not going to know what the fuck they're talking about. There. That's my fucking stuff. It's anecdotal. Fuck you. I'm always right.